Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, comedian and mum to two very lively boys. Each episode, I chat with amazing women from the world of comedy, bringing you a non-judgy dose of mum and tonic, how to stay afloat, laugh through the chaos, and be bloody great women. Hello, welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm Hattie Ashdown. And my chat today is with Brighton-based comedian, author and mum of one. You may have seen her on Live at the Apollo, Mock the Week, Roast Battle, Celebrity Mastermind and Hypothetical. And if you're lucky, you may have witnessed her unparalleled stand-up and in particular crowd work masterclass, I think. We chatted everything today. I think we chatted tiredness, getting vomit out of a bed, the cost of babysitters in the evening. I think we came up with a solution. So listen to this for your regular dose of mum and tonic. Welcome, Laura Lex, to the Funny Mummies podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
We've got you at last.
Yeah, that makes me sound like I'm busy, where I'm not. I'm just incredibly bad at replying to email.
Well, we all are. You've got the blur background like me, I've just realised, on the video. For those watching on video, it sort of gives definition.
Yeah.
Of...
I thought that might help disguise the amount of bird poo and damp that's on there. Because, you know, when the spring light appears and you suddenly find all the cracks of your house that are disgusting.
And you've got to wash the windows. Right. I thought what we'd do is I'll just warm you up with some silly yes or no, would you rather type things. Are you, I think I'm going to know the answer to this, early night person or sleep in?
Sleep in.
Do you like plans or surprises?
I hate surprises, plans, please.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm. You like a plan? Would you rather have bad breath or BO?
Oh.
It's hard, no?
Bad breath, I think, because I can keep my mouth shut.
True. Can you, though?
No. Do you know what? That's one of the things that my kid always, oh, mummy, I don't like your breath. You know when you just want to go, well, if I'd had time for any personal hygiene today and I hadn't been, like, demanded Weetabix from the second I open my eyes.
Yeah, mine do that. But I do it back to them now. Your little girl's three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll just get worse. Sorry. We'll do the last one and then we'll talk more. This is like a scenario. You see a woman walking along, let's say, out the school gates, and she has what looks like toilet paper hanging from her knickers. Would you go and tell her?
Absolutely. Yes.
You're that girl. Good.
I'm a very get involved kind of a person.
Are you?
Yeah.
This did happen to me recently. No one told me. And like, I realised that I'd walked all around the school. I'd done all these different things. I think I'd been to watch them in an assembly. And a woman didn't tell me until I got to the end of my road. I was like, fuckers.
Oh, mate. You need to change the school that your kids are at. That's not a friendly school. Stick that in the Ofsted report.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, don't even get me started. Now, I'm being really off the hook here because going back to the sleep thing. So tell us where you're at with sleep at the moment in terms of your child, how well she sleeps, blah, blah, blah.
Incredibly lucky. Okay. She sleeps about 11 and a half, 12 hours straight through every night, pretty much.
Wow.
Unless something's wrong, you know, she's always been an amazing sleeper. I'm really lucky, actually, but it's still not enough for me. We do comedy for a living, so I find it very hard to go to bed before midnight. I'm a 9 hours a night kind of a girl. I'm not a get by on 6.5 to 7. 8 is fine. 9, 10 would be lovely.
Oh my
God. So even though she's magnificent at sleeping, I really struggle with sleep.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? They get up at what, 6, 7?
Yeah.
Because they've gone to bed at 7.
Yeah. If I don't put her to bed at 7, you don't get an evening if you have got a night off. That's where I'm really naughty, is because a lot of our childcare is obviously evenings. So when it's a babysitter, I'm like, yeah, you put her to bed at 8 if you like. That is fine.
Yeah.
Keep her up. Let's see if she sleeps in.
Yeah. And does it work?
No. She just wakes up. She's had less sleep, but her body clock wakes her up when it wakes her up, doesn't it?
Yeah, so. And they're just cranky. So you're like...
Yeah. We're just in that bit. You know when the nap starts to fade out? So she's down to one nap and she can go a few days without it now. She just doesn't seem to need it. And you're like, no! Yes. I needed that time.
Yeah, no. I've got two boys and one of them was really late napper, even up until he was four. I mean, it's turned out he's autistic and ADHD, so it makes sense. He just gets really tired. And so he would pass out. But yeah, then the next one, I see old memories on Facebook. Just me going, he doesn't sleep.
No.
Doesn't nap.
It's amazing how different siblings are, isn't it?
Yeah. So what's your background? Have you got siblings?
Yeah, I'm one of four.
Are you? So am I.
Oh, are you? Where are you? Are you middle?
I'm the youngest.
I'm the second eldest.
Okay. So all girls or mixture?
There's three girls and a boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my brother's the youngest. Little cherub.
Is he a boy? I was going to say, that's what my mum really wanted, a boy. We're all girls.
Well, my parents were delighted to finally have a boy. It was like, hurrah, we've got a boy. And then I think I spent like a moody portion of my teens wishing I was a boy so that my parents would love me, you know?
I definitely wanted a girl and didn't get a girl. But yeah, I think it's just that old-fashioned thing of the high-status men. That old.
Yeah, I think they liked having girls, but I guess just after three, you're like, I wonder what the other one's like.
I want to try a different flavour.
Yeah.
And then what are they like as grandparents? Are they?
Oh, they're amazing.
They doing Somerset, are they?
Yeah, yeah. They're amazing grandparents. They've done so much like helpful childcare, the reading the stories. And my dad's one of those like, yeah, you can sit in the driver's seat and have a go at driving, you know? And you're like, she's two. This is not okay. And they're very much fill them with ice cream and then go, oh, I don't know why she won't listen. And you're like, yeah. But no, they're amazing grandparents. Almost enough to make you bitter, you know? Like, why couldn't you have been my grandparents? Why did you have to be my parents?
Oh, that's nice though.
Yeah, it's lovely. I knew they would be though, because I've got nephews that are all older than my daughter. I'm the last of us. Well, I don't, unless my brother decides to have kids, but there's other cousins. So I've already, I knew that they'd be great grandparents, which is lovely.
Oh. So was your family set up at home in terms of, because, you know, people are always fascinated with how we do this. Because the thing is, you know what I keep thinking I'm having a problem with at the moment is, it's just more expensive to get childcare in the evening,
mate,
than it is in the day.
Here's the thing, right? Why is there not some kind of evening / night collective nursery? Because to get like an individual babysitter is so expensive. We pay between £8 and £12 an hour for babysitters in the evening. Because me and my husband are both comedians, so we're both out a lot. And obviously, we try and restrict it to just one or two babysitters that my daughter knows really well. So it's not like this ever-changing
thing.
Yeah, because you can't just have anybody putting her to bed. That's not okay. So we keep it like that. But like, if you work evenings, chances are you're not making the big money that your finance bros are making during the day. So could there not be room for some sort of collective sleepover situation whereby night workers can drop their child off, they'll get put to bed by nursery staff, have a nursery nurse sitting in there overnight, and then you collect them in the morning?
So
why can that not exist, please? Like a little hotel for babies.
Because if you think about it, like nursery, you put them in nursery in the, say, in the day, or a childminder, and, well, as we know, expensive, but not as expensive as some.
Nope.
If you go with some of these agencies, it can be £20 an hour in the evening. And the crazy thing is, actually, they've got less to do, because most of the time they're going
to
be
less to do. We found this absolute queen who sits for us, who's just amazing. So we have two babysitters that we sort of keep it between them. And one of them, she's just lovely. And she does cleaning as well as babysit. She does washing up. I've never, ever expected it of her. And every time I'm like, babe, you do not have to do that. But I think she's got that feeling. Because, you know, sometimes you ever feel a bit bitter and you're like, I'm paying you £15 an hour to sit on my sofa and watch my TV. And blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if she feels a little bit of that, like, insecurity where I'm like, babe, 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 babe. Like, my kid loves you. You're so worth it for the awake time. But, like, a lot of the time, I leave the house after I've put my kid to bed. So I'm literally just paying somebody to sit downstairs just in case, you know?
Yeah, that's lucky if you can do that. I had a localish gig last night. I was back by like 9:30.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great.
I went on first, but that doesn't
happen.
Well,
I changed a lot of my career post-lockdown. I just thought, I am done with these mad drives across the country five nights a week. And I just decided to take a lot more local stuff or leave the night free in my diary. And 9 times out of 10, something localish comes in. So I just sort of made that call of going like, I don't want to drive to Birmingham and back in one evening. It's too much.
This is a little bit of a debate I'm going through because do you drive?
Yeah. I mean, unless I can get the train, but most of the time you can't get the train home
by
the time you've finished, can you?
Or they're just untrainable. There's no translation.
Yeah.
And I don't drive and I'm trying to learn to drive again. But there's a little part of it that's like, I don't want to be driving up to God knows where. I just want gigs down the road.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, though, if you block your diary out with stuff that's far away, you won't take the stuff that is down the road. And there's more down the road than you'd possibly believe until you make the space for it.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit self-helpy, like, you have to make the space in your life for the good things to come in. I don't mean it in a, like, spiritual way, but I mean literally. Like, I'm currently not working Friday night. And just today, I've had, like, 4 emails, you know, the, like, round robins going, is anyone free to do X, Y, and Z? And they're all within an hour of my house. So it's like, something will come in that I will do.
I think it's about making that choice, isn't it? I don't know what you're like at making choices. I'm not always great at making decisions. But there is such a relief when you do. Yeah, so it's making that decision to go, no, and then it will come.
Yeah.
We went a bit. In fact, I was going to quote my sister, which she always says to me, and we're going to listen to her in a minute. Sometimes just to be open to a situation, you don't know what it is, but you're open to it. So whether it be a new partner or blah, 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 whatever it is, you're ready for it because sometimes we're sort of closed off.
I think in a way, parenting helps with that because like you said in the quick ones at the beginning, you're a planner or a surpriser. I don't like surprises. I like to have things planned. And then it leads to like a sense of, no, this isn't what I planned. If something changes last minute and you kind of have to get all right with that with a kid. Because otherwise, you're grumpy all the time because
a constant surprise, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. They're absolute maniacs.
Yeah, it's true. My head goes to like, oh, would I like a surprise party? Or would I like someone saying, we're going away for the weekend?
I don't mind if it's truly a surprise. What I hate is when someone tells me I've got a surprise coming up. Like they'll go, we're going away for the weekend, but it's a surprise where we're going. Because the thing is, I will imagine something better than you've planned.
Oh,
and then
yes.
I will be disappointed when we get there. And I know that that's me being a horrible cow, but it is just what happens over and over again. So I'd rather know what it is so I can get excited about what it actually is rather than get excited about what I'm thinking about and then being a twat when we get there because you haven't done what I would have done. That's where I hate surprises.
That's so true. I do that as well. And then I don't think my face lies very well.
No, Tom always says, that's my husband. He always says to me, he's like, you know that you've never had a thought that your face didn't express in 4K. I'm always like, ooh.
That's the trouble. When you're a big reaction, like when I do love it, everyone knows about it.
Yeah, and you cannot fake it. When people know what you're like, when you genuinely, you can't fake it at all. No.
Mm.
But I think like that's something that I had to really learn with parenting. Like I really struggled between when she was like, I don't know, like 15 to 20 months. Because of having to work alongside having her, I just needed to get stuff done sometimes in gaps where I thought she'd be asleep or I thought X, Y, and Z would happen. And then if she didn't follow that, I just melted down and I couldn't cope with like, no, you have to sleep now because I need to sleep. And my husband works away for like 7 to 10 days at a time sometimes. So it was just me and her for 7 days. And I had to record a podcast or write something or just answer some emails or do whatever, and she didn't sleep. I just melt down, and it took a really long time for me to kind of fall into like, hey, of course sometimes she's not tired, she's not doing it to be a dickhead,
right.
It's just sometimes people aren't tired and she's a person.
I mean, it's that cheesy thing of like, do you think it's made you a better person, for want of a better word. You're not better, but do you know what I mean? Like,
I think so. I definitely feel like I am about 1,000% better parent now than I was a couple of years ago. And actually, like, yeah, I think I am better at going with the flow now and not being quite so micromanagey. Because also having to, like, share the world with my husband, where he's so laid back. So I'd usually, like, I've planned dinner, blah, blah, blah. And then every 3 weeks or so, I'd go, you never plan dinner. And he'd go, because you always have. And when I do plan things, you pull a face and go, I don't really want that. And then you change the plan. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's the way I want it. I want to be able to plan it. And then every now and again, be mad at you that you don't. Okay? Thank you. And now I'm just too tired to plan it all the time. So I have genuinely had to go, yes, we will take equal responsibility for the house and I will learn to, like, be okay.
Yeah.
Hello, you're listening to the Funny Mummy Podcast. Can I have a snack now?
So, we're going to watch Mum... We're going to listen to Mum Watch. This is my sister.
I do a podcast with my brother and I absolutely love that your sister's in your podcast. This is amazing.
She's not a comedian.
Neither's my brother.
She is funny. She's funnier than me. Funnier than me. She should have been a comedian. And she's number three, girl.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'd often voice note TV recommendations with each other. So I just thought, oh, this would be a good section for the new series. Because we don't have time to, like, there's so many streamings now. So my only brief to her was, don't be current. You know, don't talk Britain's Got Talent or whatever. Sometimes she'll tell us about something that's quite a classic. But that's fine. Not everyone's watched, I don't know, E.T. But yeah, let's see what she's recommending this week.
Hello, Hattie. It's me again, Tracy. Got a recommendation for you. This is an old series called The Act. I believe you can see it on Amazon. You might have to pay, actually. It might be a small charge. Don't know if you can see it anywhere free. It's a drama, but it's based on the true story of Gypsy Rose Blanchard, who was a little girl, just her and her mother. And the mother had Munchausen by proxy. This little girl was treated like she couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair. Anyway, it was a huge story. But Patricia Arquette plays Dee Dee, which is the mum in The Act, and she's fantastic. And the little girl that plays Gypsy, fantastic acting. That's my recommendation, but it is an old one, so a lot of people may have seen it. As a follow-on from that, because what happened... Yeah, this is not a spoiler. She ended up, true story, you know, can't get better than true or more unbelievable. She killed her mother. And so with that, she ended up going to prison. And there's now a series on crime and investigation called Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup. Family's just coming home from a trip. So I'm going to have to cut it short there. But yeah, it's like fly on the wall, reality TV show. Yeah, Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup. We've just started on the second series. Okay, have a lovely day.
I don't know if this is like a good thing for tired mums to watch.
Yeah.
The daughter might murder them. But yeah, I do know the story, but I haven't watched this actually.
No, I've seen that filter past me on social media as a story, yeah. I'm not really a true crimey type person,
though.
Oh,
really? Okay.
No, I know it's bucking the trend for a white woman in entertainment to not be fascinated by murder, but I don't know. I find them a bit, I don't know. I don't even know why. It's not like I'm like, oh, murder shouldn't be entertainment. It's most of entertainment is killing and murder and all that sort of stuff. It's fine. I think I prefer like obscure legal stuff. I listened to a fantastic podcast series that was all about the disappearance of Shergar, but it was all hosted by Ice-T.
Wow.
Don't know. Mad decisions, but I loved it.
Ah. So do you get to watch much TV?
I'm not a massive TV watcher. If I do watch, it's Real Housewives. I'm a big Real Housewives fan. I'm much more of a podcast listener. I'll like wander around the house fiddling with things and listening to an audiobook or a podcast. I'm not very good at sitting down to actually watch. I need stuff where you don't really need to look at the screen, hence the Real Housewives.
Oh, interesting. That's good. I'm too much of a telly addict. And it's like for different moods. I've just had this virus and it's just, oh my God, it just took it out of me. And I always know the levels of how ill I am at the beginning. I couldn't even watch the telly.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's ill, mate.
Like, I can't even lift my head for the telly. And then when I started to feel better, I watched The Doghouse. Now, this is where people match up abandoned dogs with people. It is
okay.
Brilliant. It's like a feel good, but a bit of a tearjerker as well. Because, you know, everyone's
yeah,
got a story.
Yeah. I always just think I need mindless. If I'm going to watch TV, it's got to be fairly, I don't know, there's something about, you know, you do a creative job, or you're driving, or you're with the kid, or you're busy, you're doing whatnot, and then I don't want to work through my TV. Like, everyone's banging on about adolescence at the moment, and I just think, I'm sure it's a masterpiece. Well done, everyone involved. I don't want to sit down and go through something. I want to sit down and check out.
Yeah, you do feel like you've been a social worker for the night. It's only because I was watching loads of TV because I was ill. I don't know if I would be like, oh, I've only got an hour and I just, like you say, just want to feel a bit good.
That's the thing. If you've got 1 hour, you know, if I get in from a gig and it's 11 o'clock and I know I should be going to sleep, but blah, blah, blah. Do I want to, like, be harrowed for an hour? Or do I want to just read my easy book or listen to a podcast and play a mindless game on my phone, you know? Like,
Got to do you, love. So I might sound a bit but do you think being a parent has changed you on stage at all? Because you are one of the best MCs out there.
Thanks, babes.
Don't know. Well, you're the best comic, but particularly...
I do love a bit of MCing.
You do love it. Was that something you always wanted to do in terms of like talk to the crowd, or was that just something that came by accident? You've got an acting background, haven't you?
Yeah. So I started comedy really doing improv. So I think I was comfortable on stage way before I had material, and writing material came a lot later. I know a lot of comics, like, they're writing stuff and coming up with funny things, and then the getting on stage is the hard bit, whereas I was more than happy on stage, didn't really have anything to say. So I guess crowd work just came easy because of that.
Right.
I do like it. I think I didn't specialise in it until a bit later in my career, but I think it keeps it fresh for me as much as anything else, especially if you're comparing a lot. I got sort of pigeonholed as a compare earlier on in my career. And it's kind of annoying that, really, because you can't double, so you can't earn as much money. You're there all night where other people can open and then go home early. And you only have like a maximum usually of a 15-minute bit, if even that. Usually it's 10 to 12. So all your big, interesting set pieces that you've written for the Edinburgh Festival or for solo shows, you can't fit them in. You can't...
Yeah.
Get anything big out. So I got frustrated and I stopped doing it until I'd sort of built up a reputation of being quite a good comic as well as an MC. And then I went back to MCing, and now I sort of like it again. But I think because it's varied, I think if I went out and just tried to cut my set into 7-minute bits, I'd be frustrated again. So the fact that I can go out and mess about and basically do no prepared jokes all evening and just truly be in the moment, I love it again.
That's pretty much how I see it. I mean, I'm not as good as you. I don't gig very much either. But I think it's just that thing of, for people who don't know, it's making the audience feel safe. And I think that when you come out and you straight away talk to them, it's one of the most instant things of like, oh, I feel safe because she's not scared to just go, what are you drinking? Or whatever.
Yeah. I'm a huge comedy nerd, and I'm a huge stand-up nerd in particular. I love stand-up comedy. So I think it showcases what's unique about stand-up comedy, which is that it's live and we're all in the same room and it's unique and it's different every time. If every act on the bill goes out and does 20 minutes that doesn't change at all, you know, whoever's in the room, then you haven't used one of the main amazing, unique things about stand-up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, your interesting thing with hecklers. I mean, I think the last gig I saw you at, it was a nice members club So there
that
wasn't
like us. That, we're classy
that sounds
girls.
Just like us, doesn't yeah. it? Was it in Chiswick? It was very nice and spiky anyway.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There wasn't
was
any
that
of that.
Soho? But... Were we doing Soho?
No, it's one of the Soho houses, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes us sound very glamorous, but it's...
We
they're basically.
Are, babe.
I think that's why you're so good and why people really trust you is because you have this kind of like smiley, like, I'm so nice, and then can just go, you fuckers.
Yeah. Shut
over
up,
there.
Please. It comes with the not giving a fuck anymore, doesn't it? I think I long since learned anything bad that is going to happen to me via stand-up, being shouted that I'm not funny, being told I'm fat, being told I've got shit hair, being told all of this, it's already happened. Dying on my ass, doing an entire 20-minute set to complete silence, it's happened. Putting a video out online and receiving death threats, it's happened. Being literally stalked, it's happened. So there's nothing left to happen that I haven't already survived. So what's the next heckler gonna do that I haven't already done? You know, so I just, I don't know, I don't care anymore. Like,
yeah, that's so true. And you've got
like, when you know when people go like, oh, I couldn't do it, I couldn't stand up there, and you go, but why? Oh, what if no one laughed? Okay, then what you said wasn't very funny. Go away and write it differently and try it again. Or it was funny, but you didn't deliver it very well, in which case deliver it different again. Like, I think they think that people not laughing would mean something about who you are as a person. And I think once you shake that and go, well, no, it's just, it's not funny right now, but it could be later, it doesn't mean anything about you, then you drop a lot of that fear.
It's the lead up, isn't it? It was like last night I was watching the MC. And sometimes there's that moment where you go, where is she going with this? But she very cleverly had spoke to 3-4 people, and then it was like brought all that together. And I haven't gigged for about 5 weeks until last night, so I felt really like, oh, I think that's my only fault, is that sometimes I don't trust that in myself. I think that for me, my stand-up definitely elevated, but I don't know if it's just being older when I had kids, because of like, one, I'm just really happy to be there and not at home with them. That sounds awful. I do love my children, but you know, you're having a break and you're being a bit of you.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I just come back from a week away in Scotland doing a week of tour, and I think that's the longest I've been away since I had her. Yeah. And I just loved it. I loved every second of it. And I had a bit of a tearful moment the night before coming home. Not because I wasn't missing her and missing my husband and missing the dog and home, but just that feeling of like, life's going to hit me in the face again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And possibly the child is going to hit me in the face again tomorrow. I love it. I'm so happy to have a child. I spent 5 years trying for my baby. Like, I love her. I love this life. But it doesn't mean that you also don't love the absolute weightless feeling of just being you at work and loving it, you know? And I don't know if it's like a superpower, but I don't feel any mum guilt for going to work. I don't feel any shame in how much I love my job or how much I love being away and doing it. In fact, I almost feel a sense of pride that my daughter is going to grow up with a mum who values and shows her that if you want to have a career, you can.
Yes.
It makes me more interested in like valuing the time I have when I'm at home. So I think I've got less friendly at gigs because I will get my admin done while I'm at the gig so that I can take her out when I'm at home, you know, so I'm not going like, oh, I'm away in the evening and I'm away a week and then I sit at my laptop all day. I try and puddle it all together, but I just don't feel guilty about going to work. I just think.
You shouldn't.
No.
Personally.
But I know people who shouldn't, who do, and it's so unfair on them.
What other comics?
Not necessarily comics, but just mums that work, you know, and they feel bad about it. And I just think, you know, I wish I could have raised that for them.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. I think I only know people who aren't comics that might feel guilty about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does that say about our brain? It's just not a clock in, clock out job, is it? You've got to be creative. So you've got to be happy. You've got to be content in yourself. You can't just rock up. I think you're absolutely right. The whole happy mum, happy baby.
I think I'm a better mum when I've done a gig. If I have 4 or 5 nights off in a row, I don't think I've got as much patience, and it's a bit like having an orgasm or something. You know? And your whole body just, oh, that's better.
Yeah.
And I think I'm better with her after I've had a gig because I'm just like less stressed and everything's less important. I don't know. I think it helps me.
Yeah. It's so true. As I say, I haven't gigged for 5 weeks. And last night, it was only a little new material, but I sort of came out and I literally felt like I exhaled.
Yeah.
I can't say.
Yeah.
I just kind of afterward, and I'm like messaging people, and I'm just like, hey, hi. And I'm like, all they've had is this ill person. I want to die. I'm not a comedian anymore. I'm not this. And then I'll do 10 minutes. I'm just like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So silly.
Well, it's chemicals, isn't it? It's endorphins and just connection with people. But for me, it's connection with people in a way that I'm not very good at one-on-one. You know, socializing I find more draining, whereas stand-up fills my tank. Like that sort of very one-sided socializing where I can have a connection without having to be too intense with people one-on-one. That's perfect for me.
Do you like a voice note then, Laura?
Yeah, I like a voice note. I like playing voice note tennis where you send one and it's a long one and then you don't reply for like 10 days and then you're like, sorry, babe, but, you know, here's everything. And I don't like eye contact. I love a long drive where one's driving and one's in the passenger seat so you can really chat shit without looking at each other.
Oh, and that's a perfection. Great one for kids. If you want to get stuff out your kids as they get older. My oldest, the autistic one, he was with some friends and she was like, he hasn't spoke all day and now we're in the car. So if you want to talk to him about anything difficult in the car, could be a good one.
Find a non-eye contact way to have a conversation. Beautiful.
We're going to keep talking more on Patreon, but we're going to say goodbye to the peasants. I'm joking.
Goodbye, freeloaders.
Is there any women you'd like to big up?
Oh, well, as I've just come back from tour with them, Jen Brister and Sarah Barron. I have had the most life-affirming week with them.
Bet
they are magical women and they were glorious.
Yes, definitely follow both of them, particularly Jen Brister at the moment. You know why. Okay, thank you so much, Laura. We'll keep chatting, but for everyone else, goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, I've been Hattie Ashan, and thank you to my producer, Natalie King. Don't forget to join the gang over on Patreon. Just search for Funny Mummies Podcast with Hattie Ashdown. For the price of a coffee, you could support this podcast. You'll get to hear it first, you'll get a full version, and loads of other perks. Come join the Funny Mummies community.
Happy Mother's Day!